If you have a Bible with you tonight, I want you to open it to Luke chapter 17. And I want to look at the story that I've titled The Magnificent Minority. I want to look at the story of the 10 lepers. The story of the 10 lepers and the one that came back to tell Jesus, thank you. He was the magnificent minority. Luke chapter 17, the story begins at verse 11. I want you to follow with me as we read the story of this man who was a minority in more ways than one. He was a Samaritan, a despised race who was a leprous man that Jesus healed, and he came back humbly, bowing before the Lord and gave thanks unto the Lord, which is what we should be doing every day for what he has done for us. Luke chapter 17, and follow with me in your Bible, beginning in verse 11. And it came to pass that as he went to Jerusalem, that is Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were leprous, which stood afar off. Because of their leprous condition, they were required by the law to stand a distance away and to cry, unclean, unclean. And they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they were going, according to the Levitical law, to show themselves to the priest, that as they went, verse 14, they were cleansed. In other words, they were healed by the Lord. And one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not yet found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Here in the story, we find a man that we really need to get to know, but it's interesting. He's a man that is unnamed in the Bible. There are a lot of people in the Bible that are actually heroes who are unnamed. So he's one of the unnamed heroes of the Bible, but what we know enough about him to make us admire him and even love him. He's one of those guys that when I get to heaven, I want to meet this one leprous Samaritan who came back to Jesus and gave thanks. Now, if he just gave me his name, I wouldn't know who he is. He's going to have to introduce himself as I'm the one man out of the 10 that came back to Jesus and said thanks. Oh, yeah, Luke chapter 17. I remember reading about you. Now, Luke is the only gospel that records this very interesting story, and it's consistent with the themes of Luke's gospel because Luke's is a universal gospel that has at his theme that God loves sinners, and especially does God love Gentile sinners, and that the gospel is universal in nature, that it goes beyond the limits of the Jewish people, and that it reaches even to the Gentiles. In this case, God is saving a Samaritan. Now, Samaritan was a half-breed. He was part Jew and part Gentile, and he was doubly despised. Not only was he a Samaritan, but he was a leprous man. So we admire this man for his faith and his gratitude as he came back to Jesus, but he was also a very despised and outcast man, but he was one in a group. When we first meet him, he is one of a group, and there's no distinction from the other group. He's pretty much just like the other group. There's 10 of them. They're all leprous. And there's a lot of things about them that they have in common. It's interesting that when you look at them, they were all leprous. They all had a need. In the Bible, leprosy is a picture of sin. It is a type of sin. Every time Jesus healed a leper, it speaks of the cleansing of the leper, and it's a picture of how God cleanses the sinner. Leprosy started very small, and it spread. It isolated people from others, as sin does. and eventually could destroy a person completely. And it had horrible social implications, as it would actually isolate you from others. And so it was a picture of sin. It would make you unclean. And until Jesus came along, no leper is actually ever cleansed until Jesus came along and he touched and he cleansed the leper. Only Jesus Christ has the power to forgive our sins. He comes to cleanse the sinner. I woke up this morning meditating on the blessings of God in my life, and I would put chief of those and on the top of that list that God has forgiven my sins. That my sins have been forgiven. You're going to let us know what they are, Pastor John? No. They've been dropped, thank God, in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen? Never to be remembered anymore. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ, and how I thank God for that. My sins have been forgiven. To be forgiven means that he's carried them away. In the Old Testament, they had what they called the scapegoat. The priest would actually put his hands on a goat, symbolically pronouncing the sins of the people on this goat. And then they would release the goat, and he would take off over the distant hills, and it would be a symbol of the people's sins being carried away. And I can imagine as they would watch that goat disappear over the hill, they would all clap and, yeah, good riddance, goat, don't ever come back. I want to see your ugly face, you know. Because it was a reminder, my sins have been taken. And if that goat would turn around and come back, they'd throw rocks at it, you know. Get away, goat. And so how wonderful is John the Baptist saw Jesus and pointed and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who carries away the sins of the world." So these leprous men came with their pictures of sin. They were all leprous. They were outcast. Secondly, they had in common that they all possessed faith in Jesus Christ. So their need was the same, and their faith was the same. Now we know that their faith was the same by what they did. Mark it, they came to Jesus. When they heard that Jesus was coming, they all went out to meet him. They were kind of a welcoming committee. The text doesn't say what village he was entering into, but it was a village of Samaria. Most Orthodox Jews would avoid passing through Samaria, but not Jesus. Though the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, Jesus does. Jesus loves sinners. He came to die for sinners. He loves the world. He gave his life for the world. And so they went out to meet him. They came to him in faith. Secondly, they came in prayer. Verse 13, they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So they were all equal. All 10 of them were equally men of prayer. They cried out to the Lord, "Have mercy on us." And thirdly, they all obeyed. I love this. Verse 14, they all went. When Jesus said to them, according to Leviticus chapter 13, "Go show yourself to the priest according to the law." Now, that Levitical injunction there is that when a leprous person was cleansed, that he would go to the priest, and there were certain guidelines that the priest would follow to pronounce the leprous person clean before he could be introduced back into the congregation of Israel. I always thought that would be interesting. The priest probably in the Old Testament wondered why God put that in the Levitical law, because until Christ came, they never got to apply that passage. And then Jesus shows up on the scene, and all of a sudden, all of these healed and cleansed leprous people are showing up on the doorsteps of the priest. And he all of a sudden, they're looking up Leviticus 13 and going through the process when never before did they ever have to apply that. The Messiah had arrived. He's cleansing the leper. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the interesting thing is Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest," I believe, before they were actually healed. So the idea is, why would they go show themselves to the priest when as yet they hadn't been healed. So what a step of faith on their part to turn and in obedience start walking toward the priest when they hadn't yet been healed. And as they walked, as they journeyed, they were healed. So they were all equally men of faith because they started out on their journey in faith that they would be healed, and they obeyed, verse 14, as they went. Again, another indication of their faith. They acted in faith. So they responded in prayer and faith. And then we also see in verse 14 that they were all alike in their healing. As they went, they were what? Cleansed. Don't you love that? As they went, they were cleansed. Do you remember the day that your sins were forgiven? Oh, what a precious day that was. Amen. Greatest day of your life. Greatest day of your life. The day that Jesus Christ came into your heart and forgave all of your sins. That's what you can be thankful for. If you sit down tomorrow and you don't have the pie you like, or you don't have the dessert you like, or the gravy's not just right, or the mashed potatoes aren't just right, or the turkey didn't come out just right, you can be thankful your sins are forgiven. Amen. Amen. Oh, well, my sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. The mashed potatoes will be good when we get to heaven, right? I'll never forget the day that Jesus came into my heart and all my sins were forgiven. I felt like a weight just lifted off my shoulder. I felt like just a weight lifted off my shoulder. I felt clean inside. What a joy, what a blessing to know my sins are forgiven. My life hasn't been the same since. What a joy that must have been for these leprous men as they were on their way to the priest. And they begin to look at one another, 10 of them, you know. Can you imagine what a sight they must have been on that road, these 10 leprous men, and who knows how long they've been ostracized from their families. Who knows how long it had been since they hugged their wife or their children. Got to hug my granddaughter this afternoon. What a joy that was. They couldn't hold their grandchildren. They couldn't touch their children. They couldn't hug their wives. They had to live outside the city all by themselves. And they begin to look at each other and they're like, wow, look at you. Wow, look at you. Wow, look at me. And they're checking each other out and they're so excited and they're filled with joy. And the leprous skin was turned now to healing as they walked on their way to the priest. They were healed. Someone said the path of obedience is the path of healing. But this is where their likeness ends. This is where their likeness ends. To conduct their conduct of the majority is disappointing at this point. As they're healed on the way, all of a sudden, only one of them turns around and goes back. 9 of them say perhaps in themselves, I haven't seen my wife in years take off for home. I haven't seen my children in years take off for home. I haven't had anything to do with my business for you. I haven't seen my farm for months, and they take off to their business. And only one leprous man turned around and went back to Jesus. And falling down on his face before Jesus said, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. So this is where they differ. This is the contrast between the two. 10 go to pray, but only one returns to praise. He is the magnificent minority. But why was it that one was thankful and the 9 were not? Not because of their circumstances. Their circumstances were the same. Their circumstances didn't differ. They were all leprous. They had all been healed. They'd all been equally healed. You would think they would all just say, wow, this is awesome. Let's go back and thank that guy. Who was that? I'm convinced that they, they had heard the stories of Jesus healing the lepers. Why did they go out in a group to meet Jesus and cry and say, Lord, have mercy on us? Because they heard the stories that he cleanses lepers. He heals. And yet they didn't turn back. They didn't return and say, Lord, thank you. I can't wait to see my wife. I can't wait to see my kids. But Lord, before I do that, I just want to thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. Instead, they just rushed on their way and didn't go back and say thank you. Why? Not because of their circumstances. You know, I was thinking about this today. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor. An attitude of gratitude has nothing to do with your circumstances. My son, a past year, spent 5 months in Nicaragua to learn Spanish. He took a semester off college to go to Nicaragua just to learn Spanish. And he lived in pretty much poverty for 5 months to live with the people and to learn Spanish. And he got on a bicycle and drove around and just slept in barns and just kind of lived in the country. And he came back and talked about the conditions over there and the people. But he talked about the joy and the happiness that these simple people had. How they had very, very little, but they had such joy and such happiness. And you know, it kind of gives a different perspective on life. We have so much materialism here. We have so many things that you would think that it would make us happy, right, and thankful, and yet it doesn't. It doesn't matter your circumstances. An attitude of gratitude have nothing to do with whether you're rich or whether you're poor. There are rich people that are ungrateful and don't have thankful hearts. There are poor people who are grateful and have happy hearts and thankful hearts. It has nothing to do with your circumstances. Neither was the case with these 10. They were all equally in the same situation. So why the gratitude of one and the ingratitude of others? Let me give you some ideas. Maybe the 9 were grateful, or the nine were grateful, but they did not express it. Maybe the 9 thought, well, he knows we appreciate it. We don't really need to express it. We don't really need to tell him. You know, he knows how we feel. We need to get back to our families. And they just rushed headlong in their own pursuits, and they didn't really express their gratitude to the Lord. You know, I think God really wants to hear from us that we appreciate his blessings. I think others in our lives need to hear. Husbands need to hear. Wives need to hear. Children need to hear. Parents need to hear the words thank you for all you've done. Thank you for the sacrifices. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the provisions. We need to have thankful hearts and express it to others. Perhaps the 9 were thankful, but maybe they failed to express it to others. May God help us to not forget to express it. If you have thankfulness and you don't express it, it doesn't help anyone. And if you have thankfulness and you don't express it, it will not grow. If you want to grow in gratitude, you need to express it to others. Secondly, I thought perhaps they became so absorbed in the gift that they forgot the giver. That is so common. That they got so enthralled with the healing and the gift that they forgot the giver. They forgot the one who had healed them. That happens so often that we, at even Thanksgiving, we forget that all good things come from who? Come from God. We get so enthralled with the gifts that we forget the giver. The Bible says, what have you but what you received from God? You know, everything that we have comes from God. Life, breath, the ability to work, the ability to think, the ability to breathe. When you go home tonight and you go to sleep and you lay in your bed, that involuntary muscles, and you sleep at night and you breathe at night, you're not even thinking. God is the one sustaining you on your bed. You go, I can't go to sleep because I got to remember to stay awake, to stay alive. I got to breathe. You can go to sleep at night and just say, Lord, keep me alive. Sustain me. Isn't God good? That God just sustains us, and that God, during the night, doesn't go to sleep, that he just watches over you. And then when you wake up in the morning, if you have anything to eat, God provided that. If you have a bed to sleep in, if you have food to eat. I was thinking about this again this morning as I prepared this message. I grew up in a simple home. Family. We grew up with five kids, and we weren't wealthy. We were lower middle class, and my dad worked hard and lost his job a couple times when we were young growing up. And I remember having to wait sometimes a couple months for my turn to buy shoes. But I can't tell you how many times I'd go to bed at night, and I could hear my dad down the hallway in our little house. I'd hear him go to bed at night, and I could hear my dad crawl into bed. I could hear him say, Lord, thank you for this bed. Thank you for my pillow. Thank you for the sheets. Thank you, Lord, for the roof over my head. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for all your blessings. My dad had a thankful heart, and he would thank God for all the simple blessings, all the provisions that God had provided. What an example he was. Let's not forget that what we have has come from God. Let's not get so enamored with the gifts that we forget the giver. It could be that these nine got so wrapped up in the healing that they forgot the healer. Or thirdly, perhaps the nine took their healing for granted. They took their healing for granted. It's clear from the story that they were Jews. The man who came back to give thanks was a Samaritan. And the other nine were Jews, and it could be that they felt that they deserved this healing, that it was theirs. They took it for granted. And we can often feel the same way. Oh, I deserve this food, or I deserve this money, or I deserve this house, or, you know, I work hard. I'm smart, and I've been wise, or I've stored up my money, or, you know, I've been prudent. And we need to be careful. Thinking that by our own ingenuity and our own shrewdness, we've amassed our own wealth, or that we've been able to take care of ourselves. And it's good to be wise, and it's good to be prudent, it's good to be shrewd. But who gives you that ability? It's God. We need to humbly and gratefully give God thanks for all the blessings that he gives to us. The very root cause of their ingratitude is clearly pride. The very root cause of their ingratitude, and I believe ours as well, is a proud heart. All the blessings come from God. And I think that conceit and ingratitude seldom home in the same heart. The Samaritan was humble-hearted. Therefore, he made his boast in the Lord, and he gave thanks unto the Lord, and he didn't take for granted the blessings of God. There's one thing that I pray that God will never allow me to do, and that's to take for granted. Never take for granted his blessings. To forget not his benefits. To never forget the horrible pit that he took me from. To never forget the sins that he cleansed me from. To never forget the mercy that he has shown me, the compassion that he's shown me, the forgiveness that he's given to me, all the blessings that he's bestowed upon me, and that he would keep me in a place of humble dependence and brokenness and reliance upon him. Amen? That's the most important place that we could ever stay in. Humble dependence and brokenness and reliance upon him. If it means a crippling that crowned like Jacob, that he had to walk with a limp, God had to touch him and cripple him, so be it. If it keeps me dependent and reliant and trusting in God, if I have to walk with a cripple, if I have to be crippled, God, cripple me so that I stay close to you. Help me to trust in you. Help me to stay close to you, whatever it might be. I don't want to wander away from you. I want to have a grateful heart. Maybe you need to examine your own life right now. Maybe you are like the nine. Maybe you've taken God's blessings for granted. Maybe you think you deserve God's blessings. Maybe pride has come into your heart. And you need to say, God, humble me, forgive me, and bring me back to the place of seeing that all blessings come from you. Help me to see that all blessings come from you. Give me an attitude of gratitude. And if you're going to grow in gratitude, you have to express that to the Lord. Ingratitude, grieved the heart of Jesus. Notice this as we wrap it up. It says that Jesus, answering, said in verse 17 and 18, "Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Are there not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger?" Jesus asked 3 questions. And I don't think that these were three rhetorical questions. I think that they were genuine, brokenhearted questions from the Master. I think Jesus looked at the one and he said, "Weren't there 10? I think ingratitude grieved the sensitive heart of Jesus. And I think it does today. When God forgives us and blesses us and is good to us, and we do not stop and take the time daily and throughout the day to say thank you to the Lord, I think it grieves the heart of God and the Holy Spirit. Gratitude, though, brings him great joy. In verse 19, he said unto him, this broken, humble Samaritan man, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now that indicates that this Samaritan experienced the forgiveness of his sins in a way that the 9 did not. The 9 were healed physically, but the Samaritan was healed spiritually as well as physically. It's one thing to have your body healed and die in your sin and be separated from God for all eternity. It's another thing to be forgiven of your sins and to spend eternity with God, to know him as your Savior. That's what's important. You see, when Jesus said, "Go thy way, your sins are forgiven," this Samaritan experienced a deeper cleansing. Eternal cleansing, the cleansing of his sins. This is a forgiveness of sins, and sins are forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. He was buried and he rose again 3 days later. And when you put your faith and trust in Christ and you receive him as your Savior, your sins are forgiven through faith. By grace are you saved through faith, not that of yourself. It is a what? Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This Samaritan, this outcast, this despised half-breed, this leprous man was not only physically healed, he was spiritually cleansed. If you haven't ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the most important thing you could ever do, is receive him tonight as your Savior and Lord, to know the joy of sins forgiven, to have a grateful heart for all the blessings that God has given you. The Bible says the proud God knows afar off. But if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due time. I trust that you have a blessed Thanksgiving. And I pray that it would be Christ-centered, that you rejoice in the Lord, that you count your blessings, that you name them one by one, that you count your many blessings and see all the good things that God has done. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, to cleanse us from the leprous sins that we have carried for so long. And Lord, we want to remember today that all our blessings are found in you. You give us life. You give us breath. You give us health. You give us strength. Lord, all the blessings that we have come from you. So bless the Lord, O my soul. And let all that is within me bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not his benefits. Who heals all my diseases and who forgives all my iniquities. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And let all that is within me bless his holy name. We worship you, we praise you, we honor you, and we magnify and glorify your holy name. Lord, this Thanksgiving, we want to glorify you. We want to be that magnificent minority. We want to come back to you and humbly bow before you and give you thanks. We want to bless your heart. We want to please you, Lord. We don't want to forget your benefits, your blessings. We don't want to forget all that you've done for us. How you've protected us and guided us, watched over us and sustained us and kept us. You've never forsaken us. You've never let us go. Lord, all the years that you have watched over us and kept us and sustained us and strengthened us and touched us and healed us and provided for us. Lord, encourage those tonight that are discouraged and help them to rejoice. You promise never to leave us or forsake us. What a great God you are. We rejoice in your blessings. We rejoice in your goodness. We worship you. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone agreeing said, amen.